Proverbs chapter 8, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." Amen. Amen. Let's pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, for telling us what we ought to desire more than anything else. And God, we can't fake this. We can speak in certain ways and act in certain ways that give the impression that we desire wisdom and desire you. But Lord, you know what we truly desire. Lord, you know our deepest longings and what we truly love and what we spend our time thinking about and longing for. Lord, you know what we would give anything to have. And so, Lord, we pray that you might powerfully, by your Spirit, work in our hearts, that we might desire that which is better than anything else. Namely, your wisdom, who is your Son. And so, God, help us today. Change us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, a famous pastor in London, said these words about preaching, about the object of preaching and the goal of preaching. He said, "The object of all true preaching is the heart. We aim at divorcing the heart from sin and wedding it to Christ." So we're aiming at the heart and we want to divorce it from sin and the love of sin, desire for sin, and we want to wed the heart to Jesus. And so the big question I want to ask this morning is, who will you fall in love with? Who will you fall in love with? Appropriate question for what so many celebrate today is Valentine's Day, and people are buying all kinds of chocolates and things and giving cards and thinking of love. Who will you fall in love with? So far in the book of Proverbs, we have been warned over and over again not to fall in love with or be with the forbidden woman, the adulterous woman, the foolish woman. So if you were here last week, we looked at that in Proverbs chapter 7. We saw it in Proverbs chapter 6. We saw it in Proverbs chapter 5. And we were warned, don't fall in love with her. Don't go after her. Don't be with her. Don't go near her. Well, in Proverbs chapter 8, we meet Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom. These are really two ways to live. Who will you follow? Who will you fall in love with? Who will you marry? Again, this book's primary historical audience was the son of the king. And so he addresses the son. And this book was written with the son in mind to prepare young men to follow Jesus. Juan Jose, I'm going to take this off. So let's use these. So this book is given to prepare sons to follow the Lord, to live a wise life, to live a godly life. And we get to overhear what's going on and learn from what the king has to teach his son. And if you warn a son over and over not to go to the forbidden woman, what do you tell him he ought to do? What catches the attention of young men? Go after the fabulous, the faithful, the faultless, the favorite, the flourishing woman. Don't go after the forbidden woman, but I got something better for you. Here she is, Lady Wisdom. Go after her. And so you remember I mentioned Chalmers' statement last week, the expulsive power of a new affection. We just can't say no to the forbidden woman. We need a big yes that's infinitely better than the forbidden woman. And we get the big yes this week. And we'll get the big yes several weeks as we look at chapter 8. This new affection is Lady Wisdom. Proverbs 8 is rejoicing in Lady Wisdom so that the son might fall head over heels with her. And so this is like a father going to a son who needs to marry and telling him all the reasons you ought to marry this woman. Don't go after this woman, but because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that, because she is beautiful, she is glorious, she is all-satisfying, she speaks the truth, she is noble, she's a queen. You need to go after her, Lady Wisdom. Why is wisdom personified as a lady? Well, this is personification. So personification is a literary figure of speech where human qualities are given to animals, objects, or ideas. It's a representing a non-human thing as if it were human. And so God the Spirit is using this literary device of personification to teach us about wisdom. And He uses a lady to do so. Why would He use a lady? Well, in the Hebrew language, the noun for wisdom is feminine. And so that's one reason. The noun is feminine. And so He uses a woman to describe Lady Wisdom. But also, I've already mentioned this, if you want to catch the attention of a young man who is the primary audience of this book, a woman, a beautiful woman. And so God the Spirit uses a woman, Lady Wisdom, to describe what we ought to search after. I like how one commentator has contrasted the lady from Proverbs 7 with the lady of Proverbs chapter 8. He says this, Proverbs 8 stands in contrast with the descriptions of the adulteress in Proverbs 7. The adulteress moves secretly at dusk and speaks falsely. Wisdom moves publicly and speaks direct and authoritative truth. Unlike the deceptive, twisted speech of the adulterous woman, wisdom says only what is straight, only what is right, and only what is true. The forbidden woman leads her victims into slavery and impoverishment and death. Wisdom leads her followers into kingship and wealth and life. The forbidden woman inhabits the earthly and mundane. Wisdom soars in heaven above space and time. Both rub shoulders in the city and appeal for the love of the uncommitted, gullible youth. The adulteress does so erotically. Wisdom does so spiritually. The house of the unfaithful wife is a death trap. The mansion of wisdom is the abundant life. And so here God is again calling out, Come and have abundant life in wisdom. And ultimately, we know Lady Wisdom is the wisdom of God. And who is the wisdom of God? Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And so, who should you fall in love with? Fall in love with Christ. Fall in love with the wisdom of God. And this sermon is meant to help you fall in love with Him. And so point number one, wisdom calls. Wisdom calls. Wisdom cries out. Look at verses 1 through 3 again. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. So does not wisdom call? Yes. Yes. Wisdom cannot remain silent. She raises her voice. She takes her stand. She cries aloud. She's compelled to speak up. And wisdom still calls. Wisdom still cries out today. Wisdom calls in these sermons. Not because I'm such a wise person or a wise pastor. It's because I'm preaching the Word of God. You know, a mature congregation doesn't care who the preacher is as long as they're preaching the Word of God. I had a talk with a friend of mine, and they use a model of preaching where they don't have a senior pastor. They have a team approach. They have many pastors who take turns. And they don't even tell the congregation who's preaching because they don't want people to only come when such and such is preaching. You see, and his point is, it's not about the preacher. It's about the Word. It's about the Word of God. And so the mature Christian doesn't come to hear a man. The mature Christian comes to hear from God. The Word of God. And so when I preach, because I'm preaching the Word of God, and if I cease to preach the Word of God, fire me. Fire me quickly. But as I preach the Word of God, God's wisdom is going forth. Wisdom calls in these sermons. Wisdom calls when you are doing evangelism. The wisdom of God is calling. Wisdom calls when we do counseling, when we encourage one another, when we're in one another's lives, talking about our pains and our problems and our needs. Wisdom calls. Wisdom calls when you have family worship. Families, are you gathering the children around and having family worship, teaching the children the doctrines of God and the Scripture? Oh, families, do it. Do it if you love your children. Do it if you love your children. Let wisdom call in family worship. Wisdom calls when you discipline your children, fathers and mothers. Wisdom calls. Don't discipline with the rod without going over the gospel. Oh, go over the gospel so often. Over and over and over and over the gospel. Wisdom calls. And remember, this wisdom is Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. Christ should be preeminent in all the calling of wisdom. And so I ask you, are you crying out? Are you crying out, Christian? Again, our mission is Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." May we pray that we would be crying out. We have this wisdom. We have the wisdom of God. We have that which is more desirable than anything the world or you can desire. And it cries. It can't be kept in. It must go out. And so let's be diligent to be going out and speaking the wisdom of God. The best thing in your neighbor's life, Christian, is that they live next to you. The best thing in your coworker's life, Christian, is that they work next to you who have this amazing wisdom, Christ. And so let's cry out. So yes, wisdom cries out, and it still cries out. Where does wisdom cry out? Proverbs 8:2-3. Let's look at it again. On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. These verses show that God's wisdom is relevant. It's relevant in the street. Oh, so many people think, oh yeah, that works in church, but take it to Broad and Olney. Oh, it works at Broad and Olney. It works at Broughton Olney. We have seen people on their way to get abortions who heard me preach, who someone, one of us, I don't know who it was, preach about abortion and how it's murder, taking of a life. And she had an appointment to kill this baby that I saw with my own eyes. And she said, I heard you preach. And she changed her mind. And she canceled the appointment. And there's baby Shiloh. Oh yes, it works. It works at Broughton Olney. We've seen it. And so we go there. It's relevant. It's relevant in the shopping center. It's relevant in the street. God's wisdom wants to reach the masses. It's not only relevant, but it wants to reach the masses. It wants to reach the crowds. She cries where large crowds gather. You see, that's where it goes. That's where it goes. It wants to reach the masses. We want to reach the masses. I was in another meeting. I was asked this week by church folks in the Southern Baptist Convention that are talking to me about how can we be faithful here. And they asked me, how many people do you want to see saved? And I was like, well, there's 6 million people in the Philadelphia and greater Philadelphia area, so let's start with there. I mean, I don't know how to answer that question. We want the whole world to be saved. We want 7 billion to be saved. We want everyone to be saved. Not only because we love sinners, but even more because Jesus deserves their worship. Yes, that's what we want. We want everyone to worship King Jesus. We want everyone to worship King Jesus. As the psalmist, as Isaac Watts said, the hymnist, pity the nations, O our God, constrain the earth to come, send thy victorious word abroad and bring the stranger home. We long to see thy churches full, that all the chosen race may with one voice in heart and soul sing thy redeeming grace. Friends, God desires for all to be saved. He desires everyone to be saved. Ezekiel 18:32, God says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, so turn and live. 1 Timothy 2:3-4, this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Friend, wisdom cries to the masses. Wisdom wants everyone to hear, everyone to fall in love with Jesus, everyone to follow the Savior. To whom does wisdom call? To whom does wisdom call? Look at verses 4 and 5. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Wisdom calls to everyone. To men, to the descendants of men, to the children of men, calls to everyone, everyone. And notice, wisdom calls to the simple ones who need to learn prudence, to fools who need sense. Do you think of yourself as a simple one? As one who needs to grow in knowledge and understanding? Do you think of yourself as foolish at times by the things that you say and the ways that you act? Do you know that you need more sense, more wisdom? Or do you think you know it all? I know this. I know. Do you see yourself as one who needs help? Friend, it's the fool. It's the fool who thinks they have no more to learn. It's the fool who thinks they've heard it all. It's the fool who thinks they can't learn from someone else. Wisdom comes to speak to those who know they need help, who know they need to grow in wisdom and knowledge. And friend, the Bible has good news for fools who repent and believe the gospel. There's good news. Psalm 107, verses 17 through 22, we get a picture of people who've acted foolishly and have sinned. But God is merciful to them as they turn and follow Him. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord. in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds and songs of joy. You see, they were fools, but they cried to the Lord. They looked to the Lord. They repented of their sins, and they found the steadfast love of the Lord. You see, Jesus delights to help the weak and helpless. He delights to help the weak and helpless. Luke 10, 21, in that same hour, He is referring to Jesus, rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. He came to save people who don't have it all together. He came to save people who've had abortions. He came to save people who've had affairs. He came to save people who've sinned against Him and failed to live up to His standard. That's who He came for. He came for the fools. He even got that name. Luke 5, 30-32, and the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at His disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Friend, are you here this morning and you know yourself to be a sinner? You know yourself to have broken God's good and holy and righteous law. You know yourself to have done your own selfish things, your own selfish way. You know you've disobeyed God. Friend, if you're here this morning and you know yourself to be a sinner, we have good news for you. We have a message for you that will save you from all your sins. We have a Savior who's the wisdom of God who can wash you clean. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many abortions you've had. How many people you've slept with and you've not been married to. How much drugs you've done. How addicted you are to cocaine right now. Doesn't matter you've been in prison. You've served jail time. Does not matter what you've done. Our gospel is so powerful, so mighty, so glorious that if you come to Jesus, He will cleanse you. He will heal you. He will forgive you. For you see, Jesus came. Jesus came and didn't do any of that. Jesus is the only one who lived the pristine, perfect, glorious life of a sinless man. And He died on that cross where He suffered the wrath and curse and judgment of God. And then He rose up from the dead so that anyone, no matter what you've done, if you come to Him and believe in Him, He will save you. He will save you. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough to earn it. You can only believe and receive, you see. But if you do believe in Him and trust in Him, He will change your life. You won't keep doing those things. You will realize that your body was bought with a price. Jesus owns your body. You're joined to Him. You've married Him. And so now you live for Him. You honor Him in obedience. Friend, if that's you, if you're here this morning, you're not a believer, we want you to believe. You can cry out to Him right now. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've offended you. I'm not mad at the pastor for being so judgmental. I deserve your judgment. People talk about how God, don't be so judgmental, without realizing God is going to judge. He's going to be very judgmental on the day of judgment. And His standard is absolute perfect holiness and sinlessness. Friend, the only hope is Jesus. The only hope is a sinless Savior. If you know you need Him, come. Trust Him. Talk to me afterwards. Find another Christian and talk to them. This is urgent. You do not know if tonight is guaranteed to you. I felt that this week as I visited a man who found out he's got 6 months to live and it may not even be that long. Friend, we do not know how much time we have. Get it right with the Lord. Make it an urgent matter. Wisdom is calling you to do that today. Well, what does wisdom call or say? What does wisdom say? Here is the seducing part. Here is the Spirit trying to seduce you to fall in love with wisdom. She is better than the forbidden woman. She's better than sin. Look at verses 6 through 9. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. She speaks what is noble. She speaks what is noble. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak noble things. She speaks that which is kingly, which is honorable, which is worthy, which is excellent. So fall in love with her. She's noble like a queen. She's honorable. She's worthy. She's excellent. She reminds me of Philippians 4:8, where the Spirit says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Friend, this is Lady Wisdom. Fall in love with her because she speaks what is noble. Fall in love with Jesus because He is the wisdom of God who speaks what is noble. She speaks what is right. Verses 6 and 8, from my lips will come what is right. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. Nothing twisted or crooked. We have the privilege of having Hakeem with us today, and he's a Marine. And the Marine's motto is Semper Fidelis. It's a Latin phrase that means always faithful. Or always loyal. One reason I love the Marines is when they tried to take the adultery crime out of the Code of Military Justice. In other words, it's illegal. It is a crime to commit adultery in the military. It's not a crime in America. It's a crime to God. But in the military, it's a crime. It's a criminal activity to commit adultery. And they wanted to take that out. But the Marine Corps said no. Why might they do that? Because if you can't be faithful to your spouse, the closest person in your life, the closest friend, the closest neighbor, why would you be faithful on the battlefield? You see? Always faithful. Always loyal. Semper fidelis. Wisdom always is faithful. Always is right. God's wisdom is always faithful, always true, always righteous, semper fidelis, always good. It will always point you in the right direction toward greatest happiness, toward greatest joy, toward greatest satisfaction, toward greatest reward, and the greatest way to glorify God. Always. One commentator says this of wisdom, it's the means by which the godly can both discern and carry out the will of God. Wisdom is the means by which the godly can both discern and carry out the will of God. Friend, fall in love with wisdom because she's always faithful. She's always right, and she will help you carry out the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Fall in love with Christ. Marry Christ. For He speaks what is right, always faithful. She speaks the truth. She speaks the truth. Verse 7, for my mouth will utter truth. You can't trust Lady Folly. You can't trust the forbidden woman. She will tell you anything you want to hear to seduce you and get her in bed with you, and then she will slaughter you because she does not love you. That's foolishness. The foolishness of this world. Lady Wisdom always speaks truth. Always speaks truth. And she speaks the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture. From that little phrase, we see Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back when God told her not to look back and she became a pillar of salt. Jesus applies that to us. Remember Lot's wife. All Scripture. If you're a Christian, you believe this. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Wisdom speaks the truth of God. Fall in love with her because she speaks the truth. Fall in love with Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Fall in love with Him who speaks the truth. She hates wickedness. She hates wickedness. Verse 7. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Because God is love. Because God is so good. There are things He hates with a passion. Psalm 11:5. The Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. God, the wisdom of God, Lady Wisdom, the Lord Jesus, they hate wickedness. And therefore, follow them and they will turn you away from wickedness. They'll turn you away from evil, turn you away from sin. Fall in love with her because she hates wickedness. Wickedness. She won't lead you down a path of evil and sin and destruction. Fall in love with Christ because He'll turn you away from all that which is evil, all that which is harmful, all that which is an abomination to God. Fall in love with Christ and He will save you. Do you hear? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you have an ear to hear what I'm saying? Do you remember when I talked about some people hear do's and don'ts a certain way? And it may not have been that your church growing up, who said a lot of do's and don'ts, was a real legalistic church that only focused on do's and don'ts. It may have been your problem. It may have been your problem. And that's exactly what verse 9 says. Look at verse 9. They, and that refers to wisdom's words, are straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Friend, do you understand? Are you going to be a person of understanding? Are you going to be a person who finds knowledge? Or will you reject this as judgmental and unloving and harsh? Friend, you must have the right heart. Jesus told the parable of the soils. And some soil, the devil, it's so hard, the devil plucked up the seed. And some soil was rocky soil. And so when they heard with joy. Yes, I'm falling in love with Jesus. Yes, Jesus is amazing. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And I'm going to sing and pray. And we'll go to Broad and Ollie and tell everybody I'm so happy. But then, when hardship comes, when it gets hard, when I ain't blessed by the best, or at least I feel that way, you know, they fall away. They fall away. Rocky soil. Or the soil that falls among the thorns. And they seem to come to Christ and be excited about Christ, but then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke it out. And they fall away. But some fell on good soil. They were the ones that heard with understanding and right to those who they found knowledge. We want to be the good soil people. And so I don't know what God's doing in your heart right now. If you're receiving or rejecting, if the devil is plucking, I don't know what's going on. But pray that God would make your heart and my heart the good soil, that we would receive the Word and we would stand fast with Jesus no matter what happens, no matter how hard life is. We would stand with Christ, live for Christ, obey Christ, stay in the marriage no matter how hard it is. If I've got 70 years of hardship and drudgery and what I might feel is H-E-L-L on earth, 70 years is nothing compared to eternity in hell. And so I'm going to stay and fight and follow Jesus. And if it's terrible for 70 years, I'm following Jesus. I don't care. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He'll help me through this. You see. And so I'm staying. Whatever God has called me to do. Because Christ is all. Pray for a heart like that. Friend, I need you to pray for me. Pray for me. You don't think pastors want to give up sometimes? You don't think pastors just want to drive back to North Carolina? Oh, they do. They do. They want to quit. Come, Lord Jesus, I'm done. Oh, pray. Pray that I would be faithful. I would keep my hand to the plow. Yes, for Jesus, for He is worthy. And what is wisdom worth? What is wisdom worth? Proverbs 8, 10 through 11, these last verses. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you desire cannot compare with her. Oh, that's good. That's good. You know that song, Lord, You are more precious than silver? Lord, You are more costly than gold? Lord, You are more beautiful than diamonds? And nothing I desire compares with You. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I desire all these other things that the world says you ought to have. And I have to fight. I have to fight. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for desiring this more than You. Forgive me, Lord, for longing for this more than You. Please forgive me, God, and change my heart. Lord, calls me to see that nothing I desire can even compare with You, and calls me to fall in love with You more. Wisdom is of greatest value. More than silver, more than gold, more than jewels, more than all you may desire. What do you desire right now more than anything else? What is it? If you know you could have this, It could be better health. It could be money, home, car, relationship, job. What is it that you desire right now more than anything? God's word to you this morning is God's wisdom is better. Infinitely better. Christ is better. Infinitely better. It's like God's law in Psalm 119:72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Friends, all pleasures, all joys, all delights, and all that you value or desire cannot compare with wisdom. All pleasure, all joys, all delights, and all that you value or desire cannot compare with Jesus Christ. He's like the treasure hidden in a field or the pearl of great price. You remember He spoke of it in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I mean, these people are so in love with Jesus that they have a $65 million jet and they sell it to get more Jesus. They have a $10 million mansion and they sell it so that they can have more Jesus. You see? That's what it means to love Christ and not what Christ can get you, and using Jesus as something very unspeakable in church. Oh, we want Christ. We want Christ for Christ's sake. He's like the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Fall in love with Jesus. Take this instruction. Take the wisdom of God. Take Christ. Take Him. take him here, right now, in church. That's why we come. We come to get more of Jesus, to be instructed by Jesus, to get more of Christ. Take him in personal prayer and Bible study. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus in which you meet with him on a regular basis? It's not just you come here and do the church thing and close the Bible and then come back next week, but you actually talk to him. You actually commune with him. You pray to him. You speak with him. You read his word. Take Jesus in personal prayer and Bible study. Take him in good Christian literature. Take him by reading and studying. I have lots of books. If you need something to read, I can give you good ones that will steer you in the right direction to know Christ. Take him in sermons online. On our website, we have a link called Resources and Sermons, and there are tons of good, faithful preachers. There's a lot that I would tell you never listen to. But on the website, I've put people you should listen to who exalt Christ. They preach Christ and Him crucified, you see. Earnest. Preaching is to be earnest. Blood earnest for your soul. It's not just to make you laugh and joke. I don't make jokes in the pulpit. I don't believe it's a joking matter. Go to the website. Look. Look at these pastors, preachers, listen, commune with Jesus. Take him in these sermons. Take him to the lost. Friend, take him to the lost. I hope it's a burden to you. I hope it's a burden to you that we don't see more baptisms here. I sometimes wonder if I should be a pastor, to be honest with you. I want to see more fruit, more people saved, more people born again, more people discipled. Friend, I hope that's a burden for you. I hope it's a burden for you as a church and personally. When is the last time you led someone to Jesus? I'm convicted. Take him to the lost. Take him to other Christians in discipleship. Friend, we need each other. We need each other. There is so much suffering and hardship going on in this church, and you would not know about it unless you really talk to other people and really deeply get to know other people, that you're in their lives more than just right now. And so another prayer, another burden of mine is that we would get to know one another more, that we would be noticing when such and such is not here today and such is not here today and call them. That we would not just be coming over to the parsonage, but that's meant to be a model for all of us to be doing. Find someone today that you don't know and invite them over for lunch. God calls Christians to be hospitable. It's not an option. It's not an option to invite strangers into your home. It's the basic Christian life. And so we need to get to know one another and minister to one another and love one another deeply and help one another follow Christ and take Him to the world. Take him to the world in missions. Some of you, God may be calling to go to the nations. To go. Storm's going. Heidi's going. They're both going to Africa this summer. He may be calling some of you to go. He may be calling some of you to go for good. Never come back. They need you in Saudi Arabia. They need you in China. They need you in Somalia. They need you in northern Nigeria. God may call some of you to take Christ to the world. Fall in love with Jesus. That's going to be the motivation for all this. All this. Not a pastor trying to put a guilt trip on you, but you being so seduced by Jesus. I love Him so much. He's my everything. I got to go. I can't wait to go. He's so beautiful. Fall in love with Jesus, the wisdom of God. Jesus lives and cries aloud. With perfect words, He awes the crowd and humbles all the selfish proud. So more than every jewel endowed, desire the King, His praise avowed. Jesus Christ is precious, and nothing you desire compares with Him, because He's the most valuable, glorious, beautiful, obedient, faithful, loving human being who has ever crossed the horizon of this world. Nothing you desire can compare with Him, because He's God in the flesh. Supreme in power, supreme in honor, supreme in glory, supreme in beauty, supreme in satisfaction, supreme in love, infinite in everything good which you choose to call Him. Nothing you desire can compare with him, because he lived a perfectly obedient life to the law and wisdom of God, and then died on that cross and rose from the dead on the third day to save sinners. He's the most desirable because desire was his idea. He's the most desirable because all the created things that you desire so much were his idea. He's most desirable because he's the only one who's able to love you the way you need and desire to be loved. He's most desirable because he's the only one who can satisfy all your desires beyond your wildest dreams. Nothing you desire compares with him. So desire him alone, like nothing else. Friend, come to Christ. Fall in love with Christ. Marry Christ. Trust Christ. Follow Christ. Obey Christ. Delight in Christ. And proclaim Christ to a lost and dying world. Let's pray that God would do this in our heart, because we can't. We can't make this happen. God has to do it. Father, we come to you now, and we want to truly, deeply, from the bottom of our heart, mean these words of the hymn writer: I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. Father, we pray that that would be the reality, not only as speaking as words, but Lord, that we would feel this reality. Lord, we would experience him, God, in truer and deeper ways, that you might change us. Lord, that we would long for him more, live for him more faithfully, and God, that you would use us, that others might come to know him. And so, God, work and help and save and heal and satisfy and cause us to fall in love with Christ. Lord, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.